Well, good morning, church. It's so good seeing you all this morning, and it's good to be back in good old Rolla. Me and the others who went on the mission trip just got back last evening, and oh my goodness, it was an amazing week. And if you want to know more about it, definitely grab a teen and talk with them, or grab Pam and Walter, because they were awesome chaperones that came down with us and did a tremendous job. And I mean, there's a lot of people that we need to thank. First of all, thank you to you guys for all the contributions that you guys make every Sunday and throughout the year. Because if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be able to go to places like Sholo, to the Apache Reservation down there, and spread the gospel. Thank you so much to Sarah Wright, who made us some yummy cookies and banana bread. Thank you, parents, for letting your teens go and for letting them to bring some snackage along the way. Thank you, Gene Hartman, who got in contact with our brothers and sisters down in Amarillo, Texas, who allowed us to spend the night on the way down there and back. I mean, thank you so much to everybody who played a part in the mission trip. And can we just give everybody a round of applause, please? So thank you so much for everything that you do. And today we're going to be talking about how God has called us to, and we're going to try to figure out what that blank is through reading the different callings or about the callings of different men and women in the Bible. And as we read about these callings, I want us to try to pay attention and see who these men and women were, what they did, what their profession was, what their age was, and I mean, what God called them out to do. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12 with me, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Now Yahweh said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as Yahweh had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that had crowded in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed the land to the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to Yahweh who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to Yahweh and called upon the name of Yahweh. And Abram journeyed on, still going towards the Negev. Jacob lived in the land of his fathers, sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bela and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors, but when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his fathers rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this saying in mind. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he fled, and God appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see what this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When Yahweh saw that he had torn aside his sea, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel have come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people in Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have absorbed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with the wonders that I would do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and of any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold and jewelry for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anat in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah in the 13th year. The son of Ammon, the king of Judah in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, O Lord Yahweh, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But Yahweh said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I will deliver you, declares Yahweh. Then Yahweh put out his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said to me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then Yahweh said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of Yahweh came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a billowing pot facing away from the north. Then Yahweh said to me, out of the north the disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares Yahweh, and they shall come. And everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them, for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods, and worshipped the works of their hands. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares Yahweh, to deliver you. Then Yahweh said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul heals it, he will kill me. And Yahweh said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. Samuel did what Yahweh commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, do you come peacefully? And he said, peacefully, I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely Yahweh's anointed is before him. But Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For Yahweh sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this one. And then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent, and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of Yahweh rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his wards. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But Yahweh took me from following the flock, and Yahweh said to me, go, prophesy to my people of Israel. Now therefore hear the word of Yahweh. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up by a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. And he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was a great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply depressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend to her, and ordered for him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in the front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that they might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and to plead with him on the behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and said, all the king's servants and the people of king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except one to whom the king holds out the gold scepter that he may live. But as for me, I've not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews we found in Susa, and hold fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from the thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting to one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners and to the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclined with Jesus and disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And so these are the beginnings of some amazing stories. And if you want to get in more detail, I encourage you to dive into your Bibles and read about the amazing things that God did through these amazing men and women. But notice what type of people God called out. That Abraham was 75 years old when he was told to leave his land and go to a new strange place that he was going to inherit. And he wasn't even given a son until after over 30 years later when he was 100, when Isaac was born to him. Moses, we're told, was 80 years old when he met Pharaoh in Egypt, which means he was a lot older than that when he was wandering around for 40 years with the people in the wilderness. Joseph was only 17 when God blessed him with dreams of what was to happen. Jeremiah was only a young lad when God called him out to be a prophet. But we read about men and women. Some of them were rich and some of them were poor. Some of them were lowly shepherds and a tax collector. And some of them were kings or queens. But the amazing thing is that God has called each and one of us out. And it's a purpose to serve. To serve our God. Because if you notice, when these men and women obey God, they're doing the things that God wants them to do, not the things that they necessarily wanted. Such as Esther was afraid to go before the king because she knew if her husband didn't lay out the scepter that she was going to be killed. But she had the courage to do it anyways. Abraham was trying to make up every excuse in the book that he could think of to not go into Egypt. And yet God wanted him to go and to lead his people out. And eventually Moses chose to do just that, and we can see what type of leader Moses became. Each of us have a calling. And the question is, are we going to answer that calling, church? Because we can choose, if we wanted to make just Christianity just a Sunday thing. Just to sit on a pew and worship, take communion, and only think about God on Sunday. And there's people that will do that their whole lives and they'll be able to go to heaven. But I want to challenge us to do more. The Christianity shouldn't be just a Sunday thing. That it should be a lifestyle. That each of us has a calling to serve others, to serve God, to spread the gospel, to go out and to serve people. That if you notice, each of these men and women, they didn't just sit on a couch when God called them out. That they went and did something. And my challenge, church, is for us to do just that. That yes, we may make it to heaven if we just make Christianity a Sunday thing. But what God has called us out is something that's so much more. To serve, whether that be within this congregation with your talents, or in Rolla, or in Missouri, or in this country, or in another country. And somewhere or another, we are challenged to serve. That Jesus, when he washed his feet, that said that a servant is no greater than his master. And so if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came down to earth to serve and to love, to feed the hungry, to give sight to the blind, and to wash the feet of 12 men, then how much more should we be doing? And Jesus, one of his last words, as recorded in both Matthew and Mark, before he ascends into heaven, is to go and to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that he has commanded, and lo, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. And if that is the last command that Jesus gave us before he ascended, then it's one of the many commands that we should be following, church. And so my challenge for us is to answer the call that God has given us. And for each of us, that might be something different, for we are all different. We come from different backgrounds, we have different talents. But the thing that we have in common, even though we're all different, is to serve. And the cool thing is, you're never too old to serve. That it's not something that you can outgrow, just like Abraham or Moses. That we're challenged to serve until we're here no longer. And the cool thing is, you're never too young to serve. That yes, there might be some things that you can't do yet, but you could be doing things to prepare you for those greater things. And young people, you could be amazed of how much you can do either together or by yourselves. And if you don't believe me, just look at all that you've accomplished in the last couple of years, the monies you have raised for this congregation, for Little Prairie, for the different things that we've done. But no matter how old or how young you are a challenge to solve. It is a challenge that God has given, and it's a challenge that I would like to share with all of us. And so let us answer the call of church. Let us serve God not just on Sunday, but every day. Let us make Christianity into a lifestyle instead of just one thing that we do a week. That is my challenge for us. And if you're feeling God on your heart that you need the prayers of the elders, or if you feel that you want to join this family through the waters of baptism, please feel free to come and either talk to me or one of the elders as together we rise and sing for the next song.